If you would take your Bibles and turn, please, to Isaiah chapter 56, our text today, 56, verses 9 through 12. Isaiah 56, and verses 9 through 12. Hear now the word of the Lord. Come, all you beasts of the field. Come and devour, all you beasts of the forest. Israel's watchmen are blind. They all lack knowledge. They are mute dogs. They cannot bark. They lie around and dream. They love to sleep. They are dogs with mighty appetites. They never have enough. They are shepherds who lack understanding. They all turn to their own way. Each seeks his own gain. Come, each one cries, let me get wine. Let us drink our fill of beer, and tomorrow will be like today, or even far better. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word. We pray that you would use that word now to speak to your people, to build up your church, Lord, to draw sinners to yourself. Lord, help us, we pray, as we hear your voice. And Lord, that is our prayer, that we would hear your voice only. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Mark Deaver, in an article that was written about 1 year ago, drew some conclusions after listening to 18 hours of sermons in America's biggest churches. And two of the most shocking conclusions that he came to were, one, most of the time, the gospel is entirely absent. And secondly, was the use of scripture fell into two categories, abuse or misuse. And I think it goes without saying that when you're talking about the largest churches in America, these nine pastors to whom he listened are very well compensated, they're well fed, but most of the time they do not present the gospel and they misuse or abuse the scripture. This is not a new phenomenon. There was a church in Jerusalem in Isaiah's day. We just read about the failings of those shepherds. Likewise, there was a church in Jeremiah's day. What did the prophet Jeremiah say of those pastors or those shepherds? He said, from the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it was not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Later, the same prophet Jeremiah records the words of the Lord. The Lord said, many shepherds will ruin my vineyard and trample down my field. Even later, the Lord Jesus Christ prophesied that there would be many false prophets who will appear and deceive many people, he said. This seems to be a never-ending problem. It seems to be a never-ending problem within the church. The shepherds and the watchmen who should guard the flock and be aware of danger are asleep or preoccupied with serving their own needs, for financial gain, for personal acclaim and fame. And so it is that we read just a few minutes ago, Pastor Haley read to you, Paul told the Ephesian elders that savage wolves will come in. You know, we're talking about wild beasts in our text. Paul says savage wolves will come in and not spare the flock. Even from your own number, he said, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples to follow them. We see set forth here a problem. It's a problem that stretches from the time of the prophets to the time of the Lord Jesus to the time of the apostles to our own time. It's a never-ending problem and one which endangers the flock of God. Thus it is that the enemies of God's people, described here metaphorically as wild beast, we'll see that term repeated in several different places, they come to devour God's people. Some come from the field, some come from the forest, we might say, some come from outside the church, some come from inside the church. They serve the adversary. They serve Satan. They have always been on the attack, and they continue to do so. But their attacks are often very subtle. Even more reason for the shepherds, for the leaders, the pastors to be alert. But they're not alert. The reason the enemy will enter the sheepfold and destroy the sheep is because Israel's watchmen are asleep and unaware of the enemy's approach. By watchmen here, we're to understand prophets. Watchmen were those who stood on the wall of the city and kept a lookout for danger. They're to alert people to possible danger approaching. The problem at hand is that the watchmen are blind. There's a very subtle irony there, right? You get it? The watchmen, the ones who are to be watching, the ones who are to warn of danger, are blind. And the result of their blindness is simply they do not recognize the nature and the approach of the enemy. They do not understand the nature of the danger. Of course, the prophet here is talking not about physical blindness. He's talking about spiritual blindness. They're blind to the violations of God's law. They turn a blind eye to the people's disregard and dismissal of God's law. And the tragedy of all this, the tragedy here, this could be applied to just about all the prophets, with a very few exceptions. We see over and over in Scripture God's prophets, the true prophets, standing alone. We saw Elijah alone against 700 prophets of Baal and Asherah. We saw Micaiah in prison standing alone against all the prophets of King Ahab. We see Jeremiah in the very last days of Jerusalem standing alone and being attacked by all the big-time prophets in the land. Not only are the prophets blind, he says, there are also mute dogs. They can't speak. The reason for having a dog for protection is because of their keen sense of hearing and smell. They're aware of danger. They're aware of an intruder before we even see or hear them. But a dog that can't bark, a dog that can't bark can't warn of danger. They can't let you know they've heard something. And they certainly can't frighten off an intruder by barking. You see, these false prophets raise no sound of warning of the impending danger. And besides being blind and unable to raise a word of warning, they're also lazy. They lie around and sleep. He says they love to sleep. In other words, They're concerned about their own enjoyment, their own comfort. They're not concerned about the condition of God's people. They're not concerned about the danger that approaches. What we see here in our text is a picture of selfish self-enjoyment, a neglect of duty. And what's clear in this pretty scathing condemnation here is that those who have been appointed to watch over God's people, with very few exceptions, I mean, we've got people like Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Haggai and so forth, but aside from a very few exceptions, these men have been unfaithful in this duty. They failed time and time again to warn the people of danger. If we just jump forward to our own day, it means that the preacher has the solemn duty to warn those under his care of the heretical and false doctrines which swirl about the church constantly. And the one who fails to speak, one who fails to warn the people, many times under the guise of wanting to reach out to more people and respect others' opinions, the ones who do that are faithless watchmen. And when we look at the history of the church, we find that those who warned of false doctrine in the strongest terms, people like Augustine and Luther and Calvin, the Scottish Covenanters, Gresham Machen in our own land, they often stood alone. They were often alone in sounding the alarm. But the preacher who does not warn of such danger is exactly what the text says: a dumb, blind, lazy dog. These dogs may be lazy and dumb, but notice, they have great appetites. They can't see or sense danger. They can't bark to warn of approaching enemies. And the other thing they can't do is satisfy their own appetites. They never have enough to satisfy themselves. And Isaiah adds, ironically, they're shepherds. They don't act like shepherds. They act like dogs. Dogs with tremendous appetites. They're selfish. They're more concerned with their own profit. They're more concerned with their own pleasure than the needs of those for whom they are to care. And notice what it says. They seek their own gain. It's an expression of autonomy. It's the opposite of walking in the way of the Lord. Self comes first. Such a one walks willfully in his own way, having very little regard for God, for those who are under his care. You know, in verse 10, he highlighted the lack of ability of these shepherds, these watchmen. But in verse 11, he exposes their character. We could say their lack of character. You know, someone said, when greedy gain fills the hearts of ministers, disaster is sure to follow. Their usefulness in God's service is at an end. And let's say one other thing here. The use of the term shepherds here, verse 11, need not be restricted to prophets and preachers. It can equally be applied to rulers and leaders of the people, for they too have been appointed by God to watch over his people, to protect his people from danger. And when we think about voracious appetites that can never be satisfied, when more power and more money and more control are the motivation behind everything that's done rather than the welfare of the people. When we think of leaders who lack understanding, who give no thought to God's ways and stubbornly and arrogantly turn to their own way and do so only for their own gain, for their own profit, we have to think of those who lead us in this land. At every level of government, these things are the rule, not the exception. And the higher in the government you go, the more these things seem to be, the greater the danger. The greater the danger to the people. To paraphrase what I quoted earlier, when greedy gain fills the hearts of the rulers, disaster is sure to follow. When Israel's watchmen, when our leaders are lazy gluttons who can only eat and drink and sleep, the nation is threatened. And notice too, not only are the watchmen, the shepherds, blind and dumb and lazy and greedy and self-centered, they put out of their minds the responsibility to the people. They put out of their minds their responsibility before God by getting drunk and reveling in one another's company. They blot out any concern or any thought of the welfare of those for whom they're responsible by their debauchery, and they encourage one another with the assurance that their lousy, irresponsible behavior will continue to prosper them tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, just as it has in the past. They're bad stewards, they're bad watchmen, they're bad shepherds, and they continue to prosper themselves by this, so everything is good. It's upon people of this kind that the duty of watching and warning and protecting the nation rests. Instead of caring for the general good, they've all turned to their own way, to their own selfish interest. Every one of them bent upon their own advantage. That's a pretty bleak picture. And as I said earlier, it's not unique to Israel. It's not unique to medieval Europe. It's not unique to our own land. Unfortunately, it seems to be a thing that has been repeated over and over and over. But listen to what the Lord said to the shepherds of Israel through the prophet Ezekiel. Woe to the shepherds of Israel. Or you can supply another name, America, or the church. Woe to the shepherds of Israel, who only take care of themselves. Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock has been so plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, I'm against you shepherds. I will hold you responsible. I'll hold you accountable for my flock. I will remove these shepherds from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. The blindness, the laziness of the shepherds have made the flock easy prey. But this does not go unnoticed, and it will not go unaddressed by the chief shepherd, by the Lord himself. Now, this may seem to be a sermon with a very limited audience. Pastor Haley and I are listening and taking notes. And I doubt that any of our political leaders will ever hear or care what I say. So what's the use of all this for you? Well, in Israel, as here in America today, as someone said, the sins of the pulpit have come home to roost in the pew. As the Lord God said through the prophet Jeremiah, a terrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies. The priests rule by their own authority. And my people love it this way. My people love it this way, he says. And he adds, but what will you do in the end? The people in the pews bear some responsibility. They bear some responsibility for tolerating lies and false doctrines and abuse by the shepherds. The people in the pews have a copy of God's word. They can read and understand. They can hear with their ears. The thing that set Martin Luther off was being in the Catholic Church and looking at the scripture and going, that's not what it says. The great thing that moved the Reformation forward was when the people had the word of God in their own language put in their own hands. And the priests who were ruling by their own authority and prophesying lies, the people read the word and went, this is not what God said. The people bear some responsibility for this. The nine churches that Mark Deaver surveyed in our introduction are filled even today with tens of thousands of people. They flock there to hear sermons where the gospel is largely absent and the scripture is misused and abused, and I would add, generally not used. And apparently, the people love it this way. They love it this way. And they love it that way because there's precious little talk about sin. There's almost nothing about man's inability to save himself. Quite to the contrary, there's a lot of talk about self-improvement. There's hardly any mention of the fact that there's a judgment on the horizon. And the only hope for sinners like them is found in the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. Well, there's hardly any use of words like substitutionary atonement or propitiation or justification or sanctification. For those words smack of doctrine. And a strong doctrinal stand can be very damaging when you're trying to claim the title of the largest church in America. When you're feeding your own ego, becoming very wealthy as a shepherd. But exactly how many members, how much wealth will satisfy their appetites? Isaiah says they're never satisfied. These abuses will continue among the watchmen and among the shepherds, both in the church and in the government. History is our witness to that. There's a long history that testifies to that fact. But hear the good news, little flock. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep. I myself will look after them. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David. And he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of wild beasts. I, the Lord, have spoken." You know, David was long dead when Ezekiel wrote these words. They point to the greater son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep, the good shepherd who will tend his flock as a true shepherd. He will save all who look to him and him alone for salvation. That's the truth. Now let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, our prayer is that you would raise up faithful men, faithful shepherds, faithful watchmen, who would be true to that to which you have called them, whether in government or especially in the church. Lord, false shepherds, lazy watchmen abound. But Lord, you have appointed one who will protect his flock. He will search for all the strays. He will bring in all those who belong to his flock. Not one will be left. And he will bind up their wounds. He will care for them. He will bring them to his own place. And he will rule over them forever. Lord, what a wondrous thing it is that you have so provided for your people. Lord, we pray that until that time comes, that you would indeed bring forth some faithful shepherds, would hold forth your truth as they should in your church, in this church, in this denomination, in this country, in this world. Lord, call to yourself those who would be faithful. Lord, protect those who are faithful. Lord, give them encouragement each day as they face the unrelenting assault of the wild beasts who serve the enemy. Lord, may it all be for your glory and for your honor. We pray all these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.